coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and Pam. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it.
Squatch it.
At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com, and remember, the party starts at Rupers.
And we have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by Joe Cormier, who's going to talk to us about the Travis Mills Foundation and a whole lot more. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning. Thanks for having me back.
Usually when people leave, they're like, never again.
Ugh. Except for Shanna Cox.
That's right.
Pam asked really, really nicely.
She did. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
And then said, you better.
You don't have a choice.
So we will talk to Joe about the Travis Mills Foundation and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Monday, July 14th.
The Sun Journal reports that clients of Paul Dion, a local attorney and former mayor who died in April, are being notified after a significant amount of client funds were misappropriated by Dion's law firm. Clients may be able to pursue a claim against his estate and have been advised to seek advice from an attorney who specializes in probate matters.
A new Maine law will direct the Department of Health and Human Services to educate Maine healthcare providers on issues related to perimenopause and menopause. Actress and vocal advocate for women's empowerment, Halle Berry, testified before Maine lawmakers in March, asking them to pass the bill, which will go into effect on September 24th.
A traffic notice for today and tomorrow in the city of Auburn. Court Street will be down to one lane near Auburn Hall for pipelining. The work will begin each day at 9 a.m. and could continue as late as midnight. Motorists are encouraged to seek alternate routes.
And the Public Theater in Lewiston is holding auditions for the roles of Buster the Sheriff in Misery and Fred in A Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's exciting.
Right?
I don't usually do local calls.
Yeah.
I love it.
Auditions will be held next Monday, July 21st, at the theater at 31 Maple Street in Lewiston. Learn more at thepublictheater.org.
Joe, you do some theater.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
There you go.
You'd be a good Fred. You'd make a great sheriff. Shall we talk about the weather?
Let's do it.
Okay. Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Cloudy skies give way to evening showers today. We'll have a high of 79 and a low of 64. Blue skies and sunshine tomorrow with a high of 87 and a low of 66. Beautiful weather is expected to continue on Wednesday with sunny skies and highs approaching 90.
I love sunshine.
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 Sunshine for paddleboarding.
Yay! Sportsy sports. St. Don Rafaela hit a two-run homer, and Brian Bello gave up just one run over six innings as the Red Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-1.
Say what now?
The Sox are the hottest team in baseball with 10 straight wins. They head into the All-Star break with a 53-45 record and three games out of first. They'll visit the Chicago Cubs on Friday. None of us saw that coming.
No, last I did sports with you guys, they were stinking.
They stunk.
Yeah.
They caught their stride.
What happened?
They turned it around in a big way.
They sure did.
Sizzling hot.
Yeah.
What do you think of all this, Joe?
Oh, I started the win streak. I was at the game on the 26th.
Oh, so yeah.
Thank you. So, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty.
Love it.
Let's see how they do against the Cubbies.
The Sox selected 6'2", 206-pound right-handed pitcher Kyson Witherspoon with the 15th overall pick in last night's MLB draft. The 20-year-old was listed as a top-10 prospect and went 10-4 for the Oklahoma Sooners this season with a 2.65 ERA.
For those of us not in the know, what does that mean, 2.65 ERA?
So that is the average number of runs you give up per nine innings.
Mm.
Anything under three is considered incredibly good.
All right. So he's a good pick.
Yeah.
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 20 years old, 6'2", 206 pounds.
Whew. He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. Speaking of big boys, after scoring 31 points in a summer league game on Saturday night, the Dallas Mavericks will have Cooper Flagg sit out for the remaining three games of the summer schedule. Although happy with his performance, Flagg did say, quote, "I still missed a bunch of free throws. I know my mom probably wasn't very happy with that." Tell me you're 18 without telling me you're 18. How cute is that kid?
I love it.
That's awesome.
Making multi-millions of dollars.
You know what? When he's 31, he's still going to say something.
I know. Yeah. And he's not wrong. What, those are gimmies.
That's right.
For a kid like that, yeah. You know, he shouldn't be missing those.
Nope. Yeah.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is sweeping Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. People birthdays.
What do you say we take a look at some FPBs for July the 14th?
Sure.
All righty.
Today?
A little slim.
But they're good.
We got one in there for Pam, though.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actress Jane Lynch is 65 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
She was in, I remember her from, right, Best in Show, 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah. Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Only Murders in the Building. Yep.
I haven't started watching that yet. I've heard really good things.
It's so good. I won't spoil it, but
anything Martin Short, Steve Martin.
It's funny though. It's like I don't want to start it because I don't want that commitment.
Oh, it goes so fast.
I know.
You'll sit down and binge. I swear, it's good. She was also
that right now.
Yeah. She was also in Glee. She
That's
was
right.
Sue Sylvester in Glee, and she was the character you love to hate. And then The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She plays a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Sophie Lennon.
That's right.
Yeah. She's really good.
And she also hosted that show, The Weakest Link.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
You are.
She was the female in Wreck-It Ralph, too.
That's right.
That
commando character.
She's all over the place.
Yeah, she's great.
Singer and comedian Kyle Gass of Tenacious D is 65 years old today.
Is that the one for me?
No.
Oh,
yeah. No. See, isn't that Jack Black? He and Jack Black?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And actor Jerry Hauser is 73 years old today. He played Dave Killer Carlson in Slapshot.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. One of the best movies ever, right? He's best known for his role as Oscar Seltzer in The Summer of 42. But, you know, screw that. We love him in Slapshot.
Slapshot.
Right.
Come on.
Foil up the knuckles.
That's right. How about this one, Pam? Actor Vincent Pastore.
Sure. Aww.
79 years old today from The Sopranos.
79?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google him because I think I know who he is, but I can't.
I think you do as well, and I'm not sure we can say it on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember his character, Pam?
No.
Oh.
I have to see.
Oh, yeah.
He was big P-word.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy.
He's definitely what you would call a character actor. Like everything listed on his IMBD is like a mob movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that it's
definitely typecast.
There's nothing that doesn't involve a gun on here. Even in Shark Tale, he's the mob boss. He's a cartoon mob boss. Come on.
Can't get away from it.
That's right.
Love it. Now we know.
Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Do you want to hear something completely ridiculous?
I thought we just did. Yeah,
I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
This is even more ridiculous than that song.
Okay.
That song was stuck in my head this weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was like, I told Kevin, I'm like, oh, my God, Kevin. I'm like, the On This Day song is stuck in my head. I can't get it out.
Oh, no.
And then a few hours later, he started singing it.
Oh, no.
After it had escaped my brain.
Oh, the earworm left, and then he brought it back.
Well, I got two words for you, Pam. You're welcome.
Yeah.
On this day 18 years ago.
Do you want me to play it again?
No. Oh, okay. On this day 18 years ago in 2007, Rebecca Romijn, formerly Rebecca Romijn Stamos, married Jerry O'Connell.
Aww. Now that was the kid from Stand By Me.
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
All right.
Are they still married?
They think they may be. Yeah.
What?
I know. And speaking of Rebecca Romijn, 25 years ago in the year 2000, the first X-Men movie was released.
Oh.
Yeah. It made $157 million in the U.S. You remember her character?
No. I didn't even know she was in it.
Oh, she was blue something.
I think her name was Mirage.
Yeah, that. But she was all blue, right?
She was all blue and body painted, so she wasn't actually wearing anything. It was pretty cool.
And they are still married.
Yeah.
Rebecca and Jerry.
All right.
28 years ago in 1997, acquitted double murderer O.J. Simpson's Rockingham estate was auctioned off for $2.6 million.
Doesn't sound like much today.
No. It really doesn't.
Well, I mean, O.J. didn't even need that house because he was out looking for the real killer.
He didn't rest, right?
He was just wandering the earth looking for the real killer.
Looking for anybody.
Like Bruce Banner.
Yes. Yeah, trust me, you don't want to make O.J. angry either.
No, you do not. 57 years ago in 1968, Hank Aaron hit his 500th home run. Whoop, whoop. And 144 years ago in 1881, William H. Bonney Jr., no, Billy the Kid, was shot and killed by Sheriff Packard in Fort Sumner, New Mexico.
Remember it like it was yesterday.
Like it was yesterday.
Even though it was 144 years
ago. Yeah.
I aged well.
Those are your OTDs.
And FPBs for July the 14th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Now we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, Joe Cormier. And Joe, you're here to talk to us about a lot of things. The Warrior Path program, Resistance Fitness, and the Travis Mills Foundation experience. Where should we begin?
I think we start with the fact that there are a lot of people out there that are struggling, especially for our first responders and our veterans. Mm-hmm. We are taught, even as kids, we're taught subconsciously that rub dirt on it. Move on, you know, don't cry. Don't look like a sissy.
It's pretty hard to rub dirt on your feelings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and then you get into a line of work where you're in public safety and it's okay, move on. Somebody else is about to call. Yep. Somebody else has got a problem and you don't ever get to process how important it is to make sure you're in a space to be able to help others. It all started. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I was involved in the most recently. There's been trauma all the way up through because you don't deal with everybody else's problems without dealing with yourself for 25 years. And was involved in the Lewiston shooting, and then had a couple of incidences in between, and then we had a shooting in April in Sabattis that kind of just capped everything off. And finally started to see in myself that I was not really doing a good job at processing. It led to a lot of problems at home. It led to a lot of inability to communicate at home, which has now kind of put me in a space where we're transitioning, you know. And it's the programs are involved with all of this was I started to see that I was not okay. And I don't know how, but I got paired up with Bill Merchant, who's part of Resilient Fitness out of Portland chapter of our BNI group. And it's a nonprofit that is geared towards helping first responders and veterans find outlets that are a safe haven, you know, finding resources of just having somebody to talk to. He works on physical. He's got trainers that volunteer their time and gyms that volunteer their time all through Southern Maine that you can start working on your physical piece. And, you know, he's building up towards the mental piece of having groups of like-minded individuals. So that all kind of started before the April incident in Sabattis. And then when the April incident in Sabattis happened, I reached out and I said, this is kind of the final straw. This has me ready to stop doing this after 25 years. And I had to for my own mental well-being. I was struggling. I couldn't look in the mirror. I was not making the best choices when it came to being on scene. You know, they kind of call it the don't care factor. I'm going to go in and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And if I don't come back out, I don't care.
Wow.
And it was rough. But I finally saw it myself, which was probably the first time in 25 years where I'm like, I'm past the point of no return. So Bill hooked me up with a mentor named Sean, who was involved with the Travis Mills Foundation and a program called Warrior Path. Mm-hmm. And Warrior Path is a program that is throughout the entire country. There's a mobile unit that actually travels around the country and does it. And there's 17 locations throughout the country that does it. And the focus is first responders and veterans getting the help to redefine who they are, reevaluate their self-worth, regain their self-worth, and not untrain yourself, but refocus the fact that it's okay to struggle. Mm-hmm. And struggle doesn't mean you're weak. Struggle doesn't mean that you're failing. Struggle doesn't mean that it's all bad. It's about embracing the struggle, giving yourself grace, and knowing that once you've embraced it and once you've worked through it, you're already creating positives because you're already digging deep to become better. Yeah. So that's the whole Travis Mills program is based upon giving yourself grace and knowing it's okay and you're not the only one. But it puts you in a group of people that are all struggling alike. Mm-hmm. And when you can stand in a room first day and share your story with six strangers
who know exactly what you're going through.
Who know exactly what you're going to. Mm-hmm. But not only that, it's not a measure of, well, my trauma is worse than your trauma. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a measuring stick competition where you're all there to create a focus. And the Warrior Path program is a 90-day program. The first 7 days are in person, and it's intense. We would start the day about 6 o'clock, and we'd end the day about 9.
Wow.
And it's about retooling your brain. We don't like to say tools. You know, everybody's like, I'm going to teach you this tool so you can get better. Mm. Tools are something that you take out only when you need it. And then you kind of put it back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put it in a sense of, well, I got to do a screw. So I'm going to go get my drill gun. Mm-hmm. And when I'm done, I'm going to put it back. It's about setting yourself up so you've just got these practices and you've got this ability to handle things throughout the whole day. And not just when certain things come up. Mm. And retooled your brain to go, it's all right to stop for a second and take care of yourself. And by taking care of yourself, you're actually going to be able to take care of others around you better.
Right.
It was based on communication. It was based on meditation. It was based on just simple things about slowing your day down so that you're not becoming overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I used to say all the time, I wish something could happen that could stop the earth from spinning for 15 seconds so that I could just catch up. Mm. If I could get the world to stop, I feel like I could catch up. And my time at the program, time stood still. Even though we were like in it from the moment we got up till when we went to bed, it felt like time stood still and you could catch up, which was huge. And to the point where one of the guys even forgot what day it was.
Time really stopped.
It stopped. We'd go through a program and then we'd kind of gather up during a little bit of our free time. And our free time was spent all together too. So our free time, I think, was not forced, but focused on still communicating the work and still and whatnot. And he'd be like, hey, remember when we did this 2 days ago? We're like, dude, we did that this morning. And he's like, no, we didn't. We're like, yeah, we did that this morning. And it was that intense and that. And simple things like simply taking 5 minutes to breathe, simply resetting yourself, going, this just happened and it sucked. And I just got to breathe through it. I got to just rethink it. You know, a lot of the guys, we all struggled with the same things at home. And it was about rebuilding who we are as people so that we can focus on ourselves, our family, our community, and the country. We all chose a path, whether it was in the military as a first responder, because we love to give and we want to give back, which means we never took time for ourselves. This just redeveloped the purpose that taking time for yourself actually means you can give a lot more back to the community once you've refreshed yourself. And, you know, and my poor kid, you know, it was simple. Like, I didn't realize how bad it was or how bad I was, you know, where simple things like him not being able to tie his shoes fast enough. That was an anxiety point for me. And sadly, he was getting the brunt of it at home and it, no fault of his own. And there's been a lot of soul searching, a lot of apologizing, a lot of across the board that, you know, he didn't deserve. My ex didn't deserve. And now I'm focused on, you know, creating a better version of me. I came out with a much deeper self-worth of myself than I ever had. I don't see myself going back into being a first responder again or anytime soon. But I'm working now with Bill to try and help others that were in my same spot. And it's super important that people who are struggling hear somebody else that went through the struggle.
Yeah.
Because if you can hear somebody else struggled, sometimes that's just a little piece you need to be able to open up yourself and to kind of look. And that's my focus now. I'm still able to give back to my community. I'm still able to give back to the to people around me that I want to help. But now I'm able to do it without adding trauma onto me, you know, because you're always responding to somebody else's emergency. Mm-hmm. And they try to teach you that it's not your emergency, but it is. You're trying to help somebody else through some of the darkest trauma of their life, and then you don't process it. And what do? You bury it and you go.
Smash it down,
You bury it and you go, well, I can't deal with it because somebody else is going to call, and they need my mind focused, and they need, and...
Yep. That can't be in the way.
Absolutely, it can't be. And, you know, and we're taught in that line of work that when you're listening... You think you're listening, but you're really not listening. Right. You're listening to solve somebody's problem. As a police officer, I was listening so that I could fill out a report correctly.
Sure.
Not listening to them give me what their story was.
Listening to listen.
Correct. In the 911 center and as a responder for the fire and medical side, it was, I have to listen so I know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just listening. So we were taught how to actively listen and be able to participate and be present. And simple things that you wonder how come it was so hard for me to maintain these simple things. I know I was in dark spaces and I was in deep holes. And the whole point of Warrior Path is learning how to get out of the hole. Our mentors are all people who have gone through the program. Everybody that works as a warrior guide has gone through the program. They're not clinicians. They're not licensed. They're not doctors. They're all military first responders. They're all people who have gone through the program and people who know what it's like to deal with what you're dealing with, know the struggles at home and know that. So it creates a bond of trust. And the Travis Mills Foundation hosting up here in Maine, you know, you think it would just be for Maine people. But we had members in my group. We had one here in Auburn, which was fantastic because I've known him for about 8 years. He's a Shriner with me, and it created a great opportunity for us to have that connection here close to home.
Yeah.
But there was a police officer from Ohio. There was a Marine from Texas, a member of the Army from Florida, a firefighter from South Carolina, and a firefighter from New Hampshire. And you just don't know how closely knit or even how similar the stories are. The Marine and the member of the Army both were in that first insurgent of Operation Iraqi Freedom. They both crossed the border at the same exact time, at the same, and no idea. And we just got paired together.
Yeah.
And
wow. Cool.
So it just, yeah. So it's about letting people know it's, hey, everybody struggles and it's all right to struggle and it's all right to go, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And
it's not, there's no way to like figure it out on your own, really. And I like looking at the Travis Mills Foundation website and Warrior Path, post-traumatic growth.
Correct.
I've never heard.
It's all.
I've never heard that. Heard that yeah. Either, yeah. It's always post-traumatic stress, PTSD.
Yep. This,
the whole, you know, yeah. So I like post-traumatic growth because, you know, if you don't have growth behind a traumatic experience, then you are going to dig that deep hole.
And you just keep digging.
Yeah.
And it's the shovel without a lifeline.
Yeah.
And the biggest piece when it comes to post-traumatic growth is giving yourself grace to know that you're all right. You're all right. And it's okay that you're not all right. And there are programs throughout the country that can help build you up in the meantime. There's called Struggle Well, which is under the same umbrella. And then we've got some great programs around here that I've been starting to get in touch with, you know, Operation Reboot as one that now my focus is being that transition piece, helping members of our community while they're trying to get into a program, just being a voice, being somebody that they can call. My mentor Sean and Bill have been 24/7. If I'm having something, and trust, I'm still their phone call away. And during that time, while I was waiting to get into the program, it was, they say life altering. I'm saying life saving. Mm. It was legit life saving. It's impactful how simply now you can turn around. You know, it's been one thing to turn around and see somebody go, "Hey, how are you? Have a good day." Sometimes you don't have any clue the effect of turning around and just going, "Hey, how's your day going?" to a total stranger. And being genuine about it, and just see their face sometimes go from drooped and drained and tired to just like somebody's genuinely asked me how my day is. Right. And I needed that right now. And the simple thing of paying it forward, or just simply smiling at somebody and opening the door and going, "Hey, I hope you have a great day." It creates a snowball effect that you sometimes don't really realize. And how impactful and helpful that can be to just simply be kind to somebody, and it takes 4 seconds of your day.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You've been a first responder for 25 years.
Yeah.
Were there any mental health resources or programs available when you started your career?
If they were, you had to do the digging. And if you didn't do the digging, it really wasn't present. It really wasn't in front of you as a, you know, they talk about debriefings, and that has become more prevalent as recent events have happened, you know, because it's starting to become more of the forefront that our people are not okay. We're seeing a lot of suicide rate in the public safety community. There's, in the last 6 months, I think I've attended four funerals for fellow first responders due to suicide. One of the guys in the program with me, the member of the Army from Florida, he had, I think he said 18 people pass since they've come home. He only lost 8 while he was fighting a war.
Wow.
And he goes, "Not that I was expecting or wanting to lose anybody, but it was an expected thing. I didn't expect the 18 people to come home and take their life." Yeah. Right. And that weighed on him. Could I have reached out? Could I have done more?
Sure.
And that's another layer of that blanket guilt. And that's kind of why I stepped away, you know, from 25 years of loading logs on top of myself, just weighed everything down.
It's heavy. Yeah.
And if you don't take the time to get rid of it, you're not doing yourself justice. Yeah. And
you can't show up for other people.
You can't, even though it's ingrained that you just move on. You're there, but you're not present.
Right.
And Lewiston PD had Travis Hawes come up a couple months ago, and he's another great resource for first responders. He's all over YouTube. But he is a former Marine, police officer and firefighter out of South Carolina. And then he did comedy, and now he's talking about post-traumatic stress and the ability to process it. And I went and saw him before I got into the program, and just another great resource. So there's resources out there that are now becoming more prevalent. And my only advice now to any responders listening is to push themselves to get help, and it's all right. Don't feel weak anymore.
Do you think that's why it has taken us so long to get to this point where people are just starting, and some aren't, but some people are starting to feel comfortable talking about their mental health?
Yeah, that stigma is finally starting to fade out a little bit.
Right. And a lot of it came from, you know, it's not just a first responder thing. We did a lot of, one of our mods was based on, we mapped our life from our grandparents all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had two grandfathers that fought in World War II. My grandfather never talked about the war. No. You just bury it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about it. So that creates the air of, well, if my grandfather never talked about it, He saw a lot of stuff. And I really shouldn't be complaining that I went to this call and saw this little thing happen. So it creates that mindset that, hey, I have to be tough because he was tough because the stuff he saw was way worse than this.
Yeah.
So I should not be able to not process what's going on, or I should be able to easily just throw it away and leave it gone. So
what a crazy expectation of a human being.
Yeah.
That's nuts to me. Oh, just forget about it. You're fine.
Yeah.
That's not what was expected.
Yeah.
You know,
of
the older generation too, you know, and then we come to realize some of the traumas that, you know, our generation experienced come from.
Correct.
That generational trauma is just handed down. That's what I'm
breaking
hearing.
The cycle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We did a piece and it was on that same thing where we got to ourselves in that tree.
Yeah.
So
what are we handing down?
We got to that selves in our tree and it's like, where does the cycle break?
Yeah.
And they drew a line at us. They said the way we ended that mod was, this is your commitment to stopping the trauma here.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean things are going to slip through the cracks and you're going to have bad days and this and that, but this is your commitment to making sure your kids know that they have an outlet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that hopefully your kids can then transition on to their kids, your grandkids, and just start breaking that cycle.
Yeah.
And it was impactful. 6 days of seven grown men crying and pushing through and...
Yeah.
You know, you start as total strangers. We meet every other week on Sunday nights. We have a Zoom call. I am still taking classes every day through the app. I'd say you'd be surprised, but this group has been, for only spending a short amount of time with them, I trust all of them in the most intense portions of my life because we've shared that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think they said it was 89 hours of class time they crammed into us from a Saturday morning to the following Thursday night.
Wow.
You don't bond.
Right.
You don't bond any stronger than, you know, being the whole metaphorical in the trenches, you know, than with people who want the same thing for you and are rooting for you just as much. Mm. That's empowerment in itself, is to root for other people you don't even know to want to get better. And that rooting for people you don't know spreads. Mm-hmm. You got to be that first stone in that calm pond. Bill says it all the time. Be that first ripple and then see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's cool.
Because you never fully realize how big a ripple can get
until
you just throw that little stone in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, do you recall your mindset when you began to receive help through these programs? Were you receptive to it? Were you skeptical?
There were times, skepticism is huge,
yeah.
You know, and one of the guides even said, you know, he's like, yeah, some of this is going to seem like it's voodoo, you know,
foo-foo, new agey stuff,
yeah.
Right?
So some of this is going to seem like, you know, you're like, I know how to listen. What do you mean I don't know how to listen?
Yeah. Or you'll get a little defensive about,
absolutely.
Sure.
What do you mean I can't process? I'm tough.
Yeah.
And so, there was a lot of that. But when you actually opened up into the program, you're like, it was kind of mind-altering. I went into the program with the affect of I did not want to waste the opportunity because I am there and somebody else might need it. And if I waste an opportunity that somebody else needed and they did not get the help they needed and felt that their only avenue was to do something drastic and take their life, then I didn't want that weighing on me.
Put another log on?
put another log on, you know, absolutely. And so that was my mindset going in. I was beat. I was down. They took a picture of me on day one, and then they took a picture of me on the last day.
Oh, how interesting.
And
do you feel like a different person?
I feel rejuvenated. I couldn't talk about home life, knowing what was going on, without just breaking down because I felt bad for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt bad for my wife. I felt bad for my son because I knew I was a huge part of it. I knew that the stress that I was bringing home was so beyond anything that I was fully comprehending at the time. And one of the things I've tried to do is apologize for that. Apologize to Jen and apologize to Carter and my family. But now I'm like, okay, so I'm here, but I'm living again.
Yeah.
And I'm happy and I'm focused. And Carter, this is what I learned. You know, we did this thing. We did this piece with a labyrinth, which was fantastic. It's about meditating as you take your journey in to the center, and you're carrying this stone, something that you've a burden that you've carried forever. And the whole point is, you meditate on your way in, you get to the center, you drop the stone, you're committing to leaving that there, and then walking and leaving it, and then meditating and just refocusing on how you're going to leave it there on your way back out. And it could be something simple, it could be something deep.
But it was a weight that you
absolutely
off, not only just the stone.
Metaphorically, but spiritually, the whole nine yards. I talked to my son Carter about it. He's 10. And I'm like, yeah, this is one of the things Dad did. And the cool part about being in Maine is I was able to take him.
Right.
Take him there, because it's right up in Rome. We have a family camp in Mount Vernon, so it's like 8 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
So for Father's Day, that's what we did. I'm like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? He's like, I want to go see the labyrinth.
Neat.
I want to go do the labyrinth. And we went and did the labyrinth. And I'm like, what are you stressing about? What's something you want to do? What's something simple that you can get rid of? And he says, well, I just feel bad about everything that's going on. And I said, you're 10. You don't need to feel bad about this at all. None of this has anything to do with you.
Yeah.
So this is something great.
Yeah.
Walk the labyrinth, get rid of it. I took pictures of him. And he put that stone down and it came out. And he gave me a big hug. And I'm like, how's it feel? He goes, I feel good. And I'm like, simple little things. And now you keep building off that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the breaking of the cycle.
Yeah.
That's the first step in breaking of cycle, of just going, hey, just talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to hold things in. It doesn't make you less tough.
Sure.
You're actually tougher if you can if you can take these things head on.
Right.
You're actually a tougher kid. But I feel like I'm walking taller. I feel like I've got a much bigger purpose, not only for myself, but for everybody else. And now I'm able to give back in another way without adding that stress. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. And the message of to struggle and embrace the struggle. When you actually get through the struggle, you've accomplished something already. And that's something to be proud of.
For someone listening right now who may be in that dark place, where would you suggest they first seek help?
They could call me. You know, this is a space where they could call me. I don't know if you're allowed to give phone numbers out or whatnot, but I have no issue giving a phone number out so people
can call
me. All right. So if anybody's struggling and they're trying to figure out what next steps, my phone number is 207-217-5790. And it's about getting that first domino started. Maybe that first domino is if you're working on a shift and you look over at somebody and they're struggling, just going, are you all right? And if they give you a BS answer, be the friend, be the person that is needed at that moment and go, yeah, I don't believe you. Mm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. You might not want to talk about it right now, but when you're ready to talk about it, it's okay. Because those are the people that are counting on you when you go into a building. Those are the people that are counting on you when you're on a scene. So you want to make sure everybody's good. You want to make sure everybody's on the same page. So reach out. Just talk to the person beside you. Take 5 minutes. You know, everybody's so worried about getting the truck back together because the next call might come in, or getting the rig restocked with whatever you need. Just take 5 minutes and go, hey, are we good? Everybody good with what we just saw? If you're not, take a couple minutes if you don't want to talk about it, but just go reboot yourself. Mm-hmm. Go reboot yourself. That's that first stone, first ripple. And then I can help direct, you know. Part of Warrior Path is not to tell people how to get fixed.
Yeah.
It's not about getting fixed. It's about directing them and standing by their side. We were told a story about a man in a hole. That was how they closed it. And they said, there's a guy in a hole. And this gazillionaire walks by and he just sees the man in a hole. And he doesn't really look at him. He doesn't do anything. He just writes him a check, throws it in the hole, thinks that's going to make him better. And then the following day, the guy's still in the hole in this real estate mogul comes over and he just gives him the deed to a bunch of land, throws it in the hole. The guy's still in the hole. The following day, a member of the the warrior path comes through, sees the man in the hole. He gets down in the hole with him. And the guy turns to him and says, "What are you doing?" "I've been in the hole too. I'll be here by your side as we get you out of it." And that's the mentality of, it's not just about throwing stuff to people. Mm-hmm. It's just about being by their side. And it's about giving them an avenue to know that they've got support. It's not about telling you how to fix yourself. It's not telling you about what you need to do to get out. It's about guiding and being present and just being a voice for them. And that little piece of knowing that somebody's by their side instead of telling them what to do,
right. Yeah.
Can get people out. There's resources out there, and if you need help finding it, 1,000%, you know, reach out to me. And I've started to gain a bunch of resources myself to be able to utilize, and it's 1,000% about just helping. And one of the cool things was they flew in this guy from Nashville our last night there. They got a program called Songwriting with Soldiers. And we actually wrote a song with him that night. And it's fantastic. And it's called Life Saving. And it's all about the journey and to embrace what we did that week. And I'll get it to you guys. And I don't know if you
attach it to it.
Yeah. But it's on the Travis Mills site under the Warrior Path place. You can get to it on Facebook and whatnot. There's even a little kind of documentary that they did on it that can get the link to that too. And it's fantastic. And yeah, it's just about knowing you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing that you're not alone, and that when you hear other people talk, sometimes it's easier for you to finally open up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do now, is just tell my story. So that people know it's okay to tell their story.
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
Joe, as you know, we like to close with a segment called Three Random Questions.
Yeah.
We're gonna lighten the subject matter. Oh,
absolutely.
A little bit, and we
absolutely.
Are going to get to learn a little bit more about you. We'll each ask you a question, just trying to get to know you a little bit better as a person and a member of our community. Joe, what is your favorite weekend activity?
It used to be being a couch potato, but now I love hiking. And it's kind of surreal. The first day out of the program, they talk about being present in life. I went and did this hike because Sean had said, "Hey, I want you to do this hike to kind of regroup yourself." He says, "There's a bench at the top of the mountain. I want you to take a picture of the bench." So I went and did the hike, and I flew up the mountain. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm at the top," and I took a picture. And then I stopped, and I'm like, I was so focused on the end goal
that
I didn't enjoy the journey.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
So I love hiking now. I love just listening to nature. I do it without earbuds. I do it without that. Mm-hmm. Just let nature be your soundtrack and just take it all in and slowly go. So hiking has really become something I love to do. Hiking and kayaking.
All right.
I'll go sit out in the lake in the middle of the night, watch the stars or catch the sunset. Mm. And it's just fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Slow down. Have you ever done tumble down?
I think so.
There's a lake at the top.
A little pond.
At the top. Maybe a long time ago, but nothing that's...
I think it's between Farmington and Rangeley that way. But it's another nice hike where there's a goal at the top. So
Absolutely. No, I think I might have, but...
Weld. Yeah, it's nice.
It sounds familiar.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And it's sort of kid friendly.
Alex has done it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
I love getting caught in the rain.
Okay.
Pina coladas are a little too sweet for my diabetes. make my sugar kind of go up big,
yeah,
but
I
would
think so.
Moxie.
Ah, yeah. Oh.
So, did the parade as a Shriner this weekend? Is it in my clown?
Oh, fun! Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had more fun doing a parade.
Did you get caught in the rain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty big downpour.
My costume.
Wow, that must have been tough. Did you have paint face painted?
So
is it greasy, the paint?
No, we have, they actually teach you a technique so that the makeup doesn't run. You could actually go swimming and it stays on with the way we put it on. Yeah. Wow. I had 11 pounds worth of water weight that I added to my costume. That wasn't so much fun, but
heavy, yeah.
I loved it, man. I was huddling all the way down. There's about 2 inches of water that I'm tromping through trying to see people on the sidelines, and I'm just like,
I've asked all my questions.
Okay. I have one very, very important question, and you might need some time to think about it. Mm. Peanut butter, smooth or crunchy?
Oh,
crunchy.
That's a Sarah question. Creamy.
It depends.
Crunchy? It depends.
It depends. Like on a English muffin, creamy.
Oh.
I go creamy.
Okay. Crunchy. When do you go crunchy?
With a Fluffernutter.
Okay.
Oh.
When I do a Fluffernutter, I go crunchy. Yeah.
Have you ever had a grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I have not.
It's so good.
I have not. My
toasted grilled cheese is good, but toasted peanut butter and jelly, chef's kiss, perfect.
I was eating dinner with my uncle the other night, you know, and we were doing chop suey. He had bread and butter out, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I do bread and butter with my chop suey, and sometimes you make a chop suey sandwich.
Chop suey sandwich.
Right?
Taco.
Yep.
The next thing I know, he's adding peanut butter.
What?
I kid you not. He's adding peanut butter and then the chop suey.
Creamy or crunchy?
It was creamy.
I mean, and I add peanut butter to a lot of things.
Chop suey.
I did not know. And he goes, that's how I tricked my kids into eating pasta when they were growing up.
No.
I told him it was a peanut butter sandwich.
Wow. I'm like, pasta is the one thing I do not need to trick Alex into eating.
So
strange to me.
Yeah, so the peanut butter question is like very intense in the family because it hides pasta.
Mm. No, thank you.
Yeah.
That, you've answered a lot of questions because one of our questions sometimes is what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
I didn't eat it though.
Oh, okay.
I didn't eat that one. But I had we did that bowling for kids' sake thing.
Yep.
And the lady who runs it always has like chocolate covered bugs or candied bugs.
Yeah.
So one of the contests was, will you eat a candied cricket?
Mm.
And I ate a candied cricket.
Yeah. Sure. Highly recommended.
Protein.
I've done it too. Yeah.
Mark you likes know, the bugs.
I used to sprinkle bugs on my pizza. Good stuff.
Yeah. That explains a lot.
Doesn't it? Joe, thanks so much for your time today.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me. And it's, you know, it's just a little piece of getting the message out.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Struggle well.
Yeah.
That's the
just
goal.
If one
struggle
person
well.
Hears this and reaches out for help, then
absolutely.
It was totally worth it.
Absolutely.
It's, I think, important for people, even if you're not struggling or you're not a first responder or a veteran, to know what happens behind the Travis Mills Foundation.
Absolutely.
So if you want to help in other ways, or you can,
volunteers.
Or
they're always looking for volunteers. Yeah. Even if it's something as simple as getting members who are coming to the programs from the airport.
Yeah.
They're looking for people to help carpool from the airport. You could simply do that.
Right. Yep.
That's
and
awesome.
pick a hero up at the airport and bring them to a place where they can relax and
take them for
and
a
regain.
Beautiful drive through Maine.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great stuff. Thank you to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email and sing her the OTD jingle. While That's Pam at LydiaMediaLLC.com.
Thanks.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say I have been...